This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all listening. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode of our review and comparison of The Evil Dead 1981 and Evil Dead 2013. Hope everybody enjoyed that. And yeah, thank y'all so much for listening to that one. This week, we are talking about the very new released Final Destination. After 14 years, yep. Final Destination Bloodlines, a new one has come out, and it was pretty damn good. I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. If y'all haven't seen it, go check it out. It is enjoyable. It still has the same feel as the first five. Like, it's just, it's still good. Even the first one, I think, you know, still has that vibe. You know, from the first one all the way on, still carries the same atmosphere because after we left the theater, I'm like, oh, man, is something going to happen when I drive now?
Yeah, it's still, you know, still brought up the, you know, the nightmarish.
The traumatic experiences that you get from the second one, too.
The freaking PTSD, final destination PTSD.
But, yeah, it was really, really good. But before we get into the whole movie, hit some talking points pretty much like we did with Evil Dead. Please follow us on Instagram. And like and share this podcast with everybody, family, friends, strangers,
enemies.
Yeah, your enemies. If you hate this podcast, share it with your enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, please, you know, helps us out. You know, try to build this our little listener base to help us out and grow. But yeah, Final Destination Bloodlines, man. Tony Todd's last, you know, role pretty much, and you know, reprising his role in the Final Destination franchise. It was good to see him again for one last time on the screen. It felt really good.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it was sad, but it was also, it felt good, you know, that he actually ended on a good note, you know.
It was kind of like, you know, the Three from Hell with Sid Haig.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you know, because you could, like, totally, like, you could see in Three from Hell, you could see Sid Haig, you know, really basically deteriorating on camera. Yeah. And that was kind of sad. And then you kind of saw the same thing with Tony Todd.
Yeah.
You know, he just, you know, you could tell he was in poor health, but
yeah, but he was pushing through. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He was totally holding it down. And, you know, I thought it was kind of cool that they did give him, you know, kind of like he could just ad lib his own lines.
Yeah. Pretty much go out on his own terms. Yeah. Pretty much talk from the heart. And his, pretty much his last, you know, his whole monologue, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
For his last scene in the Final Destination franchise was pretty much like, you know, hey, I'm done. Like, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
You know, both in the movie as his character.
And in life itself.
And in life, too. You know, he was done. So, but, yeah, I liked it a lot, man. It was really cool to see. But, yeah, again, you get a clairvoyant in this one who pretty much can see what's happening. Or she's having a dream pretty much of, you know, stuff that happened in the past from her grandmother that, you know, because her grandmother was a, you know, could see kind of like all the movies where they see what happens and they try to prevent it. And she did. Her grandma did. Her, you know, not to spoil it too much, but, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of how the whole movie opens up is basically it's, you know, I would say it's back in the 50s.
Yeah, back in the 50s.
And they're going to, you know, this opening up the sky view, you know, like restaurant and lounge. And so they're headed there. And obviously it's just, you know, a roller coaster worth of events. Like little tiny things like, you know, like the butterfly effect. And so they go through and it goes in and there's a they pull up to the sky view and ballet, and there's this.
But it's real cool, man. All the Easter eggs that are presented, even in the first like opening act, you have the license plate which says Flight 180.
Yeah,
it said FL8 and then 18E.
Yeah,
Flight 180.
When they pull up at the valet.
Yeah. Just little cool Easter eggs like that. I mean, it's really cool to see that they're paying homage to obviously the previous movies.
Even though this, like, you know, this one in itself is actually before, you know, because obviously, like, it's the 50s and the first one doesn't take place
until
much later.
Yeah, like the 2000s.
The 2000s or the late 90s. And so, like, you know, they still know it's like Flight, you know, 108 and all this kind of stuff, or Flight 180. So they're like.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. But yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she already gets like a eerie. I mean, you're that high in a tower, you're gonna feel, you know, kind of. It's no one has a fear of heights. Everybody has a fear of falling. That's what it is. Everybody says, "Oh, I have a fear of heights." No, you have the fear of falling from great heights.
Well, it reminds me, like, honestly, it reminds me of when my wife and I first got together. We were living in Las Vegas, and the Stratosphere has a dinner. Well, basically a restaurant and lounge up on top. It's called Top of the World. At least they did. Now it's called the Strat. But yeah, it was Stratosphere when we lived there. And we went there for dinner after seeing a stage play. And it was just moving around. And in 1 hour, it makes like an entire basically rotation of the city. So you get the full cityscape in
an
hour. And so it reminded me of that. And I was just like, you know, but Strat didn't have glass floors.
Yeah.
Like, whoever designed it, I mean, I think that's more like the Skywalk at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Logic. Like, you know, let's put all this, you know, giant glass and you can see, like, you know, yourself falling to your death if this was to, you know, break.
But it would still ruin heights for a lot of people. I mean, if you absolutely have a fear, you know, of heights, adding, you know, Final Destination, adding another trauma to your.
Well, I mean, come on. They already took over the logging truck industry, and, you know.
Yeah, man. That is, like, probably the most. Like,
I think that's the most traumatizing out of anything. That is what they are known for, is that logging truck scene. And the way, like, I mean, speaking of the logging truck, the way that they did the marketing for this movie.
That rat truck. That was pretty cool.
Oh.
So they had a truck pretty much going down a freeway, and it was a logging truck. And of course, it had like Final Destination bloodlines on the side and everything like that. But pretty much, this dude, his job was to
just drive around LA. Yeah.
I want to know how many people moved like out of the way, like if anybody was ever behind him consistently, or if they just like, nope, we're not gonna be behind this truck.
I mean, but the fact that they know that they're like traumatizing you, and they're still like, yep, we got you. Don't even worry about
that whole. Yeah, man. I think two was probably the most. Well, I saw two when I was really young. I was like 6 or 7 when I saw two. And that whole movie just sticks with you. I mean, everything in it sticks with you, especially the ending barbecue scene.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, yeah, that's.
It's like how it's terrifying that the most like little mundane thing, like in this one, you know, something as stupid as a little jerk kid taking a penny out of a fountain. And you're like, oh, that's like mundane. That's like just so not, you know. It means nothing in the circle of life. But lo and behold, it means a whole lot.
Yeah,
so,
that little penny, man, that penny plays a big role.
But that's what I like about these movies is that, you know, throughout the entire franchise, it's the little things.
Yeah.
It's like taking a toothpick out of a martini and leaving it on the side of the table. And then, like, you know, it falls off and stabs a cockroach. And then someone steps on, and it's just like, it's just, you know, it snowballs. And that's what I like about it. That's what I like about this movie is... You're just sitting there. It's like, yeah, that could really happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so you get introduced to Iris, who is, you know, she saves the people in the sky view because she sees what's going to happen, what death's going to do pretty much, how everybody's going to die, which that whole death scene was just wild. People getting lit on fire. Okay, the dude with the pan, like, cooking, like, if shit's going sideways, like, if it's going south, you're not still cooking. You're like, oh, but I got to get this souffle out there.
I'm sorry. I'm a fat kid, man. And if I'm literally dancing and as you're and it's not like popcorn or something on the floor or peanut shells.
I'm surprised nobody noticed the.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, dude, I'm like, oh, okay. I can imagine being like caught in the moment, like the heat of the moment. and you're dancing and you're like, you know, lost in that person's eyes.
Technically on top of the world.
Yeah, I guess you could say. You're on top of the world, but yeah. Seriously, like I'm going to look down to see, like I am, I mean, not the whole time,
yeah.
But yeah, I might take my eyes off my girl to look down for a second. And these people are just like, and like, yeah.
Yeah, that whole scene, yeah. So yeah, it ruined a lot of glass floors for a lot of people now.
Yeah.
So no more dancing in tall towers with glass floors.
I know, I'm not going to go to, in Vegas, there's an aquarium. And like there's a tunnel that you go through, and it's like literally you walk through this tunnel, kind of like Jaws 3.
See, no, like I can't do that.
And you walk through this tunnel, and it's all glass. And you're like walking through it, and it's like you can see under you. And there's like a giant, like, sea turtle that lives under.
Oh, hell.
And so he comes out. And like, that's the coolest part of it. But like, seriously, like, I'm supposed to be walking through there now. Like, oh, man.
See, I don't like underwater, man. What is it called? Thalassophobia, I think is what it's called. I can't do underwater stuff, man. I don't like water. I hate water. Like, even aquariums, like, if you go to, we go to like the zoo and it has like an aquarium with it.
Yeah.
It's hard, dude. It is really hard to go through those things, like, without freaking out. I can't do that. The tunnel thing. Dude, I would freak out. I would go through it, obviously, to enjoy it, and you know, it would take me a minute to be like, okay, you know, we're cool, like nothing.
Maybe have a couple of drinks.
You know? Yeah, we'll be fine. But either way, like I'm getting my necks or the neck hairs are standing up right now just thinking about it. But
yep.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. If they made another Final Destination and they added that in there, that would be pretty cool. Just have like, you know, breaks and a shark like comes through and kills.
It's like Jaws 3 / Final Destination.
That would be pretty cool. But yeah, pretty much she sees the vision. She saves everybody. And because she saved everybody, now, you know, she kind of, you know, how would I say? Like, she cheated death pretty much. Everybody did. Like, she got in the way of death's plan. And, you know, now down the line, he has to go through and kill off the bloodlines, pretty much. That's which is why it's called bloodlines. But yeah, he's going through and killing everybody. And Iris has like fortified herself.
Yeah, she did the whole, dude, like, you know, like, I found that to be very, very Halloween.
Yeah, kind of. Like
I found that to be, you know, kind of like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, you know, like Laurie Strode just hiding out, and you know, especially in, you know, the newer versions.
Yeah,
and you know, she's sitting there like 2018 and. You know, her granddaughter's looking for, much in the fact that, yeah, it's, once again, you know, Iris's granddaughter, like, starts, you know, the legacy continues.
Yeah. Yeah, her granddaughter Stephanie is having the dreams of when Iris was young, and it keeps repeating, and she has, like, you know, nightmares, but night terrors, pretty much, of just
this. Yeah, she's getting kicked out of school.
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, her roommate Val is like, you know, get the hell out of here or I'm going to strangle your ass to death. Yeah. And she's like, okay, cool. So she goes home.
Yeah, and so she wants to figure out, like, why she keeps having the dream of her grandma. And so she, you know, gets, you know, finds out where her grandma is, goes to visit her, and her grandma pretty much lays down, like, hey, like, this is what's been going on. Like, I saw a premonition and how people were going to die. And I stopped it by stopping some fat kid throwing a penny off of
Skyview.
And, you know, but now because I did that, now death is pretty much making its way through all the people that are not supposed to be alive today. And so, which is kind of a weird thing to think about, you know, that's wild. Like, are you supposed to be alive or are you not?
did you cheat death? Did something go on? Yeah.
Yeah. Did someone cheat death at one time in your timeline? And now, you know, you only have like a couple hours.
Well, that is one thing that I liked about this movie is that, you know, before it was kind of like, you know, centralized to a particular cast of characters. Or it was like maybe five. Like, I think there was a couple more and maybe three.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay. But I mean, it didn't really, like, break a baker's dozen, let's say.
Yeah.
But this one was like, hey, there's, like, 180 people, like, and all these people were, like, were supposed to be dead. And you're just like, damn.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, basically as she's going through and investigating, they show, like, all the people. Like, they show, like, you know, all the names on the board. And it's just impressive.
Yeah. How many people, and also that, like, she has like a book pretty much of her findings, like, of how, you know, like a survival book pretty much that she had put together to make sure that she can survive death and not die. But I mean, at that point though, like, are you still living or are you just surviving death just because? Like,
on top of that, like, I'm just going to be serious for a moment. So if I was to essentially go through and let's say I escaped death and I figured out like death's plan, like Final Destination does. Yeah. Oh, well, I figured out death's plan. Okay, I'm taking the name of the person before me, right? So let's say it's like, you know, John Guerrero. Okay, so I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to watch John Guerrero. If John Guerrero dies by, like, I don't know, getting eaten by a cockroach in the middle, I'm going to be like, okay, wait a minute. Now I'm going to go hide somewhere. Yeah. Now I'm going to build my little bug out room. Now I'm going to hide from everything. But if there's like 180 people until death gets to me, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be hanging out, be doing my thing, true, having a cookout. You know, because technically you only really have to watch out for the person before you.
Yeah.
So as long as, you know, but the family dynamic, I mean, we'll get into it more, but the family dynamic of this woman anyways is kind of like tilted on ear. It's really weird.
Yeah, because her son and her daughter don't like her because of the way she raised them. She really tried to keep them safe from the outside world. But dude, as long as you're fine, they're okay too, because death just goes down. It pretty much is revealed that death goes down like by the who was born first. So obviously it was the mom, and then the children, and then their children, and then it goes down the line, and it goes from oldest to youngest pretty much. And so that's what she tells her when she meets her at her cabin, which Stephanie too, her family dynamic is kind of all out of whack too. Her mom, she left.
Yeah, Darlene left.
Darlene left because,
which is, you know, the daughter, Darlene and Howard.
Because of the way she was raised as well.
Yeah, and are the children. And so due to the fact that, you know, I guess maybe she feels like she can't relate. So she just leaves in her like Winnebago of destiny and hits the road and leaves, you know, Marty with the two kids.
Yeah.
So she has a blood brother. And that's
Howard, yeah. And yeah. He's lived his life. He's got a family. He's got a
deep family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing good, man. He has a nice bar in his backyard. He's doing all right.
Yeah, you know, his son.
But
Eric,
he hates his mother. Yeah. He doesn't want to deal with his mother. But Stephanie does go to her like fort or like lockdown central pretty much. And her grandma gives her the rundown of pretty much how to survive, gives her the book. But Stephanie's like, oh, no, you're just psycho. Like, you are actually, like, kind of nuts, like the family was saying. And so she's like, no, like, you need to take this book. This will help you figure out how to survive and how to keep death, you know, at bay pretty much. And, you know, get out of his, you know, tricks and plans and all that. And she's like, no. And she's like, okay, well, you're just going to have to see to believe. So she steps out of her house, gives her the book. And as soon as she gives her the book, that's when...
Yeah, the weather main like flies off the roof of the house.
Well, the fire extinguisher that she has outside.
Oh, there was so much stuff because remember, Death's trying to, you know, Death is doing all these little ploys trying to kill her in the cabin.
Yeah.
So like, there's a like she leaves a magnifying glass out, and a beam of light hits it, and it starts burning through like a wicker rope on a hanging plant. And you're just and she's like talking to herself. She's like, "Nope, you're not gonna get me that way." Ha ha! So she picks something up and throws it, and knocks the magnifying glass so that it's no longer magnifying the rope, and so she pretty much saved herself on that one. But then, yeah, it's like all these little weird, kooky things. So, yeah, she walks outside. Some things happen. A fire extinguisher like falls over and.
The weather main, finally falls down.
The weather main falls down.
Open.
Yeah. Some great deaths in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, some quality stuff.
Yeah, that weather main falls down and the arrow goes right through her jawline, or the back of her head and through her mouth.
And splatters all over her granddaughter.
Well, there's one death right there, right?
Yeah.
And Stephanie, you know, obviously she's like, what? Like, she doesn't know what to think of it, obviously. You just see your grandma get killed.
Yeah.
But then after that, what is it? They're having a barbecue at Uncle Howard's, and, you know, he's like giving a toast to his mom's death pretty much. Like,
yeah, because Darlene comes back home.
Yeah. Darlene comes back home.
During the funeral, kind of like it's a family reunion, obviously. People come together in death. And so Darlene shows back up at the funeral in the Winnebago of Destiny.
Yeah.
And the family's kind of like, you know, Marty is kind of like this weird, ambiguous character, and that's her ex-husband.
Yeah.
And Howard is just like, I mean, even though you can tell he's kind of upset by the whole situation, he's like the peacekeeper.
Yeah.
He's like that guy who's going to be like, hey, listen, you screwed me over, but we're all family.
Yeah.
So he, you know, and that turns out later also. But so they go through, and they're going to have this, you know, like a cookout, like you have.
Yeah, they're having a cookout.
Yeah, he's like a memorial bar. Cookout, and you know.
Well, he doesn't just have a bar. He has like kegs. He has. Oh yeah, everything, dude.
He's sodas, got all kinds of stuff, and there's all these little like weird, like I said, you know, like the little penny thing, and there's just like you know this weird, you know, a glass breaks, a piece of glass falls into the ice, and just like all these little things. There's a rake underneath the trampoline.
Well, what I like is it keeps you thinking. Yeah, there's a rake under the trampoline. They keep jumping on it. And they're like, oh, like that's going to be it right there. And someone's going to drink the glass and their drink and whatever. But no, what happens is that someone spills their drink. She throws her drink in the grass. Or Howard's drink gets spilled into the grass. So the glass that was in his cup falls out. And you think, oh, dude, that rake. It's going to be the rake. And he's going to like, fall in the glass or something, right? But Darlene moves the rake. She's like, hey, guys, y'all are going to, you know, you're going to step on this rake. Like, it's going to do something. So she pulls it out. And then, like, the trampoline starts tearing. And you're like, oh, that's going to be it right there. But then Howard gets off and Bobby falls through the trampoline.
Bobby, yeah. And he's like, I'm okay. Because Bobby's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah. But I'm like, okay, so it's not that, and it's not that. And then he steps on the glass.
Yeah, Howard steps on a piece of glass, and it like
the
totally,
rake
yeah.
turns on the electric mower, which why is it still plugged in, even though they're having a barbecue now?
Hey, things happen, man. Sometimes you got to mow while you're eating, okay?
And so it turns it on, and that was probably, he gets Frankenhookered pretty much.
Yeah.
And his head gets thrown in, because he falls over because the glass went through his foot. And then he gets torn up by the lawnmower. So there's a second death, which right there. And then Stephanie starts to kind of put pieces of it together. Like, oh, this is what's going on. So she like has the whole timeline on the wall and is starting to piece it together. And in the book, you can actually see from the previous movies what it looks like to me is like the deaths that she has been.
Yeah. The chain of events. Yeah.
Now, I read that the previous movies aren't directly like the characters from the previous movies aren't directly connected to this bloodline. Like the people from the Skyview, like they're not connected to the other people, but she has been observing like the other, looks like she's been observing because you see the airplane.
Maybe they were part of the 108 or however many people were in the book originally. You know, because there were all those people. There were like 108 in the deal. Maybe some of them came from that.
But most of those people survived.
Yeah.
In the movies, in the previous movies.
Yeah. Some of them did.
Some of them. It could be. But I know in her book, she was flipping through the book, Stephanie was.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that like you've seen in the previous movie.
And you see Flight 180, you see, I don't know if it is, but you do see the airplane, you do see some of the stuff that's been going on kind of from the previous movies. So she sees all that. And so she's piecing it together. She tries to bring it to the family. Of course, they don't want to hear about that after Howard just got decapitated.
And Howard has three kids. He has his wife, Brenda, and he has three kids. He has Eric, who's the oldest. He's like this, like, tattooed, like...
He's an edgy dude, pretty much, you know?
Pretty much.
Very metalheadish, you know?
Bobby is just... He's kind of simple. He's just, you know... He's your bland vanilla character.
He's like the jock, I guess you could say, the family. He looks like it. He's very athletic. He looks very athletic.
Yeah, he has, you know, not a whole lot of characteristics like Eric. And then basically
Julia, who's the bitch.
Yeah, she's like, you know, she's like the diva daughter.
She is. She's a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Of the family, I guess you could say. She's kind of an ass to Stephanie. She's, you know, she's just rude. But yeah, they don't want to believe Stephanie. You know, when they bring this up and they finally kind of like shun her, like, dude, like, enough.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. We're stop. Just not going to, you know, listen to you.
Yeah. And she's saying that Eric is next. Eric's going to be the one to die next because he's the oldest of the family. They already got Uncle Howard and, you know, the husband and wife are safe. But, you know, Uncle Howard. It's going to go through his timeline, his bloodline first, and then it's going to go to Darlene, and it's going to kill off, you know, Darlene, Stephanie, and then Charlie, her brother. But right now, they have time to kind of save everybody.
Yeah, so she makes Eric, like, her pet case. She's going to, like, stay on Eric, even though Eric is, like, the most, you know, he's the most unresponsive. He doesn't believe any of this. It's all garbage.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling a story, like, I don't believe you. So he's going to go to work. So he goes to work.
He's a tattoo artist. Yeah. Oh, he's doing a piercing, too.
He's a tattoo artist slash piercer slash whatever. So I guess his boss didn't have a closer. So obviously on the day of his father's funeral, his boss is like, hey, man, I need you to work. I think he works at Sprouts. But anyways, so it's like, yeah, come on and, you know, let's get this, you know. You come in. And so then he's there and he's piercing this girl's tongue. And he's very, like, aggressive about it. Like, I have piercings, and I'm like, man, if anybody was that aggro, I'd just be like, no, I got to step away from this bee. Is there somebody else here who can do it? Or if not, I'll go to another shop. But he's very aggro. And so while he's, like, just jamming the needle through this girl's tongue, he's like, his boss walks by, and he's like, hey, man, can you close up? I got to go. And then he's like, yeah, I come in on my father's funeral. Now I got to close up. And he's just pissed.
Yeah. He's not in a good mental state, I guess you'd say. But yeah, you think...
You think he's going to get it because all these weird things start to take place.
Well, his nose piercing gets caught in the fan.
His septum piercing.
First of all, the setup in this tattoo shop. So you have, like, the chains hanging from the ceiling really close to the fan.
Yeah.
Which is already, that right there is disaster. But the chain swings down, gets caught on his nose ring. It keeps spinning around, and you think, oh, dude, this thing's going to is gonna kill him. That's what it's going to do. That's what's going to happen. It's going to kill him. No. And then, like, the alcohol, the disinfectant stuff.
Yeah, because he was closing up. He was disinfecting encounters and everything.
Yeah, and then, you know, that spills over. Then a fire gets lit because the little Reaper bobblehead looked like from
the Misfits. There's a little crimson ghost bobblehead with, like, a fez, and it, like, dances around. And it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything gets lit on fire. He falls from... He undoes his piercing, but he does fall into the fire, and that's the last thing you see. So Stephanie's like, dude, we got to go check on this guy. Like, the next morning, they go... her and her brother go check on him. But he's fine. Like, what the hell? Well,
yeah, he basically, like, emerges. He's, like, walking down the street. And it's, like, this whole setup. There's, like, you know, Charlie, her brother, is like, oh, man, my friend just told me that the tattoo parlor burned down last night. And then, of course, that, like, sets her off, and she's like, oh, man, we got to... Well, then he's walking down the street with, like, a fire engine shirt on, and you're just like... And they're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So he obviously, like, they're trying to, you know, get to him. And
yeah, they're trying to make sure he doesn't, you know, he stays away from, like, these things that are, like, around him, you know. The guy, you know...
Yeah, Stephanie's mind starts going active, and she starts looking at everything, so there's, like, there's a... pole saw laying up against a tree. There's kids playing in the driveway. Soccer. There's a landscaper blowing with a leaf blower.
And she's pretty much saying, like, what could happen, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it could fall and, you know, distract the leaf blower and then blow it into the kid's face and they kick the ball and something happens, you know, whatever. And he's like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, he doesn't believe them because, you know, he survived a fire. Like, the leather jacket he had on kept him safe or whatever. So that's why he survived the fire. But, like, he's like, no, dude, I don't believe any of the crap, like, you're saying. And Julia comes out of the house, and she's like, dude, you're still on about this crap? Like, just drop it already. Like, and there's, like, a garbage truck, too, right there. And she's like, Eric, you need to stay away from the garbage truck. He starts, like, fondling it. Like,
yeah, he starts making out with the garbage truck or the garbage container.
The garbage, yeah. And they're like, dude, like, that could kill you, but nothing happens. And then Julia starts jogging down the street. And then the exact scenario that freaking Stephanie had said happens to Julia.
The soccer ball hits her in the head. The leaf blower, like, blows her. And then she drops into, like, the trash receptacle. And then the forks on the trash truck bring it up and
dump her into the bin. So now they got to try to get her. They stop the truck. But unfortunately, it's too late because she gets crushed by the... Yeah. You know,
the compressor in the back.
Compactor that's in the truck, which was a good death, man. Dude, she...
Yeah, because literally you think she's going to get out.
You think she's going to get out. But not only that, dude, she was an ass. Her whole introduction, she is an ass, dude. So you're like, dude, I hope she dies first. I did want Eric to die first, though, because I'm like, dude, Eric's like a douchebag, too. Like, you want these characters
to die. The one person I was rooting for to die out of this whole damn film was that little bastard at the Skyview. Dude, you could have like had the most horrific 19-hour death, and I would have just sat there.
He did
die that.
In the flashback, yeah, in the dream.
Yeah,
he did.
But in reality, his little ass lived, okay? That's one person that we didn't need in this world, just saying.
Yeah, he lives. He lived. But, yeah, so she gets crushed. Her head gets crushed. And now they believe her. But if they go down by the bloodline, they're like, well, how come Eric didn't?
Yeah, they're starting to, like, believe. But then even, you know, Stephanie is doubting herself because she's like, wait a minute. It didn't. It jumped Eric and then went directly, you know.
Well, it turns out.
Yeah.
Brenda and Howard. Auntie
Brenda.
Brenda and Howard were having a rough patch in their relationship, we know. And so when they had, like, a little break, I guess you could say, Brenda went to the neighbor and had herself a good old time.
Yep. And Eric was, you know, Eric was a reward from that. And the funny part that I found about that was the character, well, the actor who played Eric,
yeah,
actually ad-libbed that whole scene.
Yeah.
Because he literally, like, he's an adult, okay? But, I mean, yeah, I can understand that it would hurt. But he, like, in a little kid voice almost is all butt hurt, and he's like, oh, now I know I always want to play catch.
Yeah.
Oh, and he walks out of the room.
Is that why he always wanted to play catch with me?
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, that was, you know.
Yeah. She says, she tells him who the father is, and he's like, is that why he always wanted to play catch?
So then once they realize that basically Brenda was stepping out, they go through and they start analyzing everything.
And Bobby's.
And lo and behold, Bobby's coming up next.
Dude, I really did want him to live, man. I wanted him to live. So. But in the book, they find out that Iris had put down that someone named JB found somebody who survived, which, if I remember correctly, that's the third one. I think she survives, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
In the third movie, I think that's the only one that survives. I think. I could be wrong. You're more than welcome to connect me. I didn't rewatch all the whole movies, just the second one to revamp my trauma.
my logging truck nightmare.
But so they need to find out who JB is, which was really cool about this is I'm glad they gave Bloodworth his origin story, I guess you could say, that Iris is the one who pretty much, you know, saved not just everybody but him too, you know, from dying that night. So they find out, you know, where he worked, which she does say, what is it, Clearview Hospital?
Yeah.
Or Clear River Hospital, which is...
Yeah, they do a Google search because it was Clear something, and so then...
Well, Clear River is the... one of the characters in the earlier... two, if I remember correctly. But, what do you call it? It's like some different hospital, though. At Hope River Hospital, something like that. And so they go to that one, and that's where they meet... John Bloodworth or William John Bloodworth, and who is the coroner. Obviously Tony Todd is the coroner in all of the Final Destination movies that he appears in, and he's like, he already knows, like, hey, you know, I've been waiting for y'all, you know, I'm assuming you're trying to figure out how to stay alive. And he tells him, he's like, you gotta either kill somebody, you know, and take their time, or you have to die and come back to life, you know, be resuscitated pretty much, and you know, you'll cheat death pretty much. But he even tells them, if you mess with death, you know, it gets real messy. Like, you can't mess with death. And he pretty much tells them, like, hey, I'm retiring. You know, now that my friends are all dead, you know, Iris is dead and all my other friends are dead, like,
it's my last day.
Yeah, I'm going to go spend it, you know, pretty much how I want it and not worrying about death anymore. Which is probably why he stays in the corner, you know, being a coroner, you know, he's already around death so much, so that's probably why he stays alive. But, yeah, so he ends on a good note, you know, he ends on his own terms, which, again, the directors told him, you know, to speak from his heart, and that's...
Yeah, you know, say goodbye to the fans, and that's, you know, that's what he did.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's very sad, and then, you know, so they gotta try to keep Bobby alive. Well, they're already in the hospital, and it's already established earlier that Bobby is allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, deathly allergic to peanuts.
Deathly allergic to peanuts. So Eric comes up with the bright idea to get this dude to eat something with peanuts or peanut butter in it. And die from the allergic reaction, and then he'll bring them back to life. You know, they're already in the hospital. They can just resuscitate
get somebody from the staff to basically, an RN will come over and administer care, and he'll be okay.
And so they hide into, for some reason, why they went to the freaking CAT scan room. But they go in there, which I don't know why there's nobody in there. Because it's not like it's at night and they're in there.
Well, CAT scans, you normally have to schedule a CAT scan. Like, I've been in a CAT scan room before where it's just like there's nobody in there.
Yeah. But I'm like, how come there's nobody at that moment?
Well, it was just right across from the vending machine, which, once again, you kind of felt like the vending machine was going to kill him. Because Eric's rocking the damn vending machine around. Yeah,
because the peanut butter cups get stuck in there.
Yeah, because he's going to buy him peanuts at first. And then Bobby's like, nah, man, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with some Reese's Deliciousness.
Yeah.
So he chooses that he wants some, like, off-brand peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, yeah, dude, I know why, man, because those are delicious. Yeah,
but they get stuck. Eric gets pissed off and punches the glass. And, you know, after he punches it, it pops the spring out, which releases the peanut butter cups. So they go in there, and he gets the wheelchair from the...
Yeah, he leaves Bobby in there, and then he's got to go get the wheelchair, which is by some old lady in, like, admissions.
Yeah, but him slamming that door turns on the machine.
Yeah.
You know, because the clipboard falls from the wall from the slam, and it turns on the machine. And then he gets the wheelchair, comes back to him. The thing's, like, booting up now. It's starting to get more magnetic and more magnetic. And so he eats the Reese's peanut butter, and he's like, oh, it's so good. And then finally he starts having the reaction. And he starts swelling up. He starts choking. His throat starts closing. He wants to get the EpiPen from Eric, but he's like, no, dude, like, you have to die. I need you to die. But again, like William Bloodworth said, if you mess with death, you know, he's going to make sure that you pay as well. So because Eric's trying to help Bobby cheat death, that freaking CAT scan machine goes on, like, full, like, max power.
It pulls something off. I can't remember what it pulls off, but it hits the programming board.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then it, like, amplifies it. It, like, goes, like, full tilt. And by this time, everything magnetic is just, like, there's a...
even the stuff outside.
Yeah, there's a nurse at the receptionist desk, and all the stuff starts moving towards, like, the room.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can hide yourself in there anymore, because...
now everything's getting pulled in there. Yeah. So... Bobby falls out of the wheelchair, and now, again, remember, Eric is a tattoo artist and a piercer, so he has, you know, his nose and ears pierced. That gets pulled into the freaking machine. Yeah.
And so it starts...
gets ripped out.
Yeah, it starts with the nose, and it's like starts moving, and then the front of his shirt expands, and you're like, ah, nipples.
Yeah. You know,
I can't understand why it went, like, step by step. Because if it was magnetic, field, it all went go at once.
But I liked that.
How it went. So it goes through, and the minute that the nipples went, I was like, "Dude, Prince Albert!" And boom, next thing you know, dunk, the front of his pants start pulling towards it, and I'm like, "Oh shit!" So then next thing that you know, like, he's caught on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And it, like, literally goes
and pulls him
towards
in.
The front, and it pulls, and the magnetic force is just so strong that it's just, like, pulling everything into this little tiny port. And then Eric's shirt is ripped open. And you see his bare belly. And he's got, like, the Final Destination skull tattoo. From five on his tummy. And all of a sudden, the metal rods from the wheelchair, like, poke through it, and they just tear it. And it was a great kill scene.
Yeah, like the rebar from the cover of Final Destination 5 where the rebar is going through the skull on the cover. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a cool, like, little
tie-in.
Well, not only that, too, in one of the scenes where I think it's Eric drinking from a mug that says, show me your kitties, which is, if I remember, it's from three.
It was three or four.
Where he has the premonition, and it's show me your titties. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Oh, okay, I get it. A little callback to the other ones, too. Yeah, it was really cool to see all that stuff. But yeah, he gets freaking torn up, and Bobby takes the EpiPen from his hand because he's, like, sucked into the thing now, and his hand is free with the EpiPen, so Bobby grabs it, and he saves himself pretty much. Nurse walks in, is like, hey, what the hell are y'all doing in here? And before she can turn off the machine... the spring from the vending machine goes through his freaking head. And I like how it like spun a little bit. It was like spinning
inside. Yeah, like it was spinning on access like through the magnetic field. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And what's cool too is like, okay, so Stephanie and her mom and her brother, they see that Bobby has died. And Charlie's like, dude, why did it kill Eric if he's not blood?
Because he tried to step in the way of death.
Tried to step in the way, man. Yeah, you mess with death, you know.
Yep, that's why you got to be careful.
So now they're like, okay, well, we got to go to Grandma Iris's compound. And Darlene said that, you know, she's going to stay there and fortify herself so that way her kids can live. So they go, and before they're about to leave, they almost get hit by a logging truck.
Yeah.
Which, dude, that, again, you're like, oh, dude, are they going to pay homage to it again? Are they going to, you know, do another logging truck scene? But they don't. You know, it just shows like, oh, shoot, they almost got hit. So Stephanie drives. They get to her grandma's compound, and they're almost about to make it inside because, like, stuff starts going, like, you could see, like, stuff starts, like,
going like,
haywire.
Yeah, like, the electricity is, like, popping off of a live line into you know, a spotlight. Yeah, and there's just weird stuff going on.
Yeah, and right before Darlene's about to go inside, that freaking pot that was burning at the beginning, the little amber, it sets off the, like, the stove.
Yeah.
So it breaks off of that little piece that it had left, slams onto the stove, and then a piece of amber from the electrical wiring outside
goes in and sparks
and sparks blows up the house.
The natural gas, and it blows up.
Sends Stephanie, who's in the RV, her mom's RV, into the water. So she's like halfway in, and her seatbelt breaks. So now she can't get out. And then Charlie's stuck under like a, you know, power line. And Darlene's like burnt.
Yeah, she's like Cocoa Crispy. Yeah. She's like, she's like melted.
She's still alive, but she's two-faced now.
Yeah,
she's,
so she like literally, you know, she's Harvey Dent.
She's Harvey Dent right now.
So she pulls the pole, obviously, off of Charlie, you know, because she's going to, she'll die to save her kids.
Yeah, I mean, she wants to make everything right. You know, she wasn't there at the beginning, but now she wants to do better. She wants to stay alive as long as she can so that way her kids can stay stay alive. And she tells Charlie, after she gets him up, she's like, go save your sister. I want to stay alive as long as possible. One of the electrical poles slams on her. Dude, I'm telling you, man, the deaths in this thing were like...
Graphic.
Graphic and amazing.
Yeah. They were like over the top, too. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the wheelchair coming through Eric.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah. And, so she gets, crushed by the electrical pole. And so Charlie now has to go and save
Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie.
And so he like goes into, you know, sees the RV, hops down into basically the mud puddle.
Yeah,
is what I'd assess it to. So he goes down there, you know, starts swimming around to get his sister out, and she's kind of semi lucid, semi conscious.
Yeah. So but she's starting to drown. Yeah.
You could tell like she is, you know, starting to go under with the effects. So he, you know, obviously he gets to her.
Finds a pocket knife, in one of the drawers, in the RV,
and cuts his finger off. But you know, pretty much,
digs into it. Yeah,
almost he lacerated his finger pretty good. And the one thing that I noticed is later, we'll talk about this. But I'm just saying, he lacerates himself pretty good. That's where we'll go with that.
Yeah,
and then he gets his sister and gets her out,
but she's gone. Yeah, she's gone.
So he's like, no. So he obviously starts to resuscitate. So he goes through and he resuscitates her, and obviously she springs back to life.
Yeah.
And so, hey, wait a minute. You know, Stephanie cheated death. You know, she was supposed to die. She died. I brought her back to life. Death has, you know, moved on. Like, it's gone. This cup is passed.
Yeah.
So, you know, once they're up and they're active, they're like, okay, well, we've got to walk like 906 miles back to, because grandma's compound.
Yeah, she was like,
the hell out there. They drove, because remember when Stephanie first goes there, she says that she drove for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
through nothing, but they're gonna walk on back. It's okay, cool, you do you. So they get back, and obviously, you know, Dad, Uncle Marty, is still there.
Yeah,
and you know, he's still kind of a non-believer, you know.
He just sees it like as a series of probably because he never believed in the first one. Maybe he did now at the end.
Inconvenient circumstances.
But he thought, yeah.
That took out like
a series of unfortunate
seven-eighths of my family. It's okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You know, Charlie's going to prom. You know, it's his prom, you know, because he was younger than Stephanie. Stephanie's in college.
But we forgot to mention the best character ever. So, when they go back home and he's getting ready for the prom.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby had a turtle that he was extremely fond of named Paco. And in the end, Uncle Marty is feeding Paco.
Or Father Marty.
Yeah, Papa Marty is feeding Paco. Because, I mean, like, the way they just kind of leave some weird stuff going on in this movie.
So, Barbara loses her husband, all of her kids, and is left with Paco. And they went and they took Paco instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Brenda. Brenda. Punishment for Brenda for sleeping with someone else and having Eric.
That probably was. Yeah. But instead of saying like, "Hey, Brenda, like, come stay
like,
with us,"
like that ain't your turtle, Brenda. Yeah, you better give up that turtle. You better give up that Paco. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's feeding Paco, and you know, like we said, you know, he's getting ready for prom. And the one thing that I noticed, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just a stickler for detail. His finger's fine. He doesn't have, like, any... You cut...
Dude. Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. He cut himself deep,
too.
Oh,
I've got cut at work before, yeah. And if you're actually using that finger, then, yeah, it's probably 4 to 6 weeks before it's healed. Nah, not in Final Destination land. Now, his finger's fine. You know,
probably use skin glue, man.
Probably crazy glue. Crazy glue.
So he's fine. So he's going... They're going to go and take him to his date, and, you know, they're going to go off and, you know, go to prom. And, they get there and, you know, they mention that, you know, his date's dad is like a doctor and this and that. So they introduce them to Stephanie and to Charlie and they say hi to each other. And he goes, yeah, you know, I heard Charlie's a lifesaver and this and that. He goes, yeah, you know, he brought me back from the dead. He goes, yeah, well, but you drowned, right? And he's like, yeah. She goes, well, you weren't dead. You just drowned. Like, you're not really dead because if he brought you back, you never died in the first place. And that's when they realize, oh, shit.
Death has just been playing cat and mouse with them.
Yeah. And there's a little old lady that Eric was like earlier in the film that Eric was like, you know, pretending to be his, you know, what, grandma or something like that.
So yeah, his grandma. He was trying to steal the wheelchair from right next door.
Yeah. So, you know, she gets a penny that she finds outside when Darlene and Stephanie first leave to Iris's compound. And... so weird that, yeah, Darlene drops it out of her purse. I don't know how she dropped it out of her purse. Oh, was it from the book?
It was. It was from the book, and then...
I didn't realize that
until... Yeah, it was from the book, and then remember, she went through to buy a cookie, and the cookie was 75... Now, who the hell pays for a 75-cent cookie with pennies?
Well, no, she was going through her change, and that penny fell out.
Flew out.
And it went to the railroad tracks and got stuck on it. Okay. And
there's another thing. Being a train connoisseur that I am, okay? So anybody who knows like a lot about freight trains, we know about Goblin Gold. So Goblin Gold is basically a rider's term when you take like nickels and something like that, you put on the train tracks, you make Goblin Gold.
Uh-huh.
It's like currency, you know, that you flatten down on the train tracks. It's something you do when you're drunk, waiting to catch a freight train. So it's Goblin Gold. So I have seen like pocket change get decimated. Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen a penny get stretched for like a good inch and a half all the way down the line. I've smeared nickels. You know, I know it's a felony, people, but sorry, I've done it. And so that's literally like what you do. So this penny went in between, like, basically, like, it's, you know, it's a hitch in the track. So it goes in between, and a freight train coming down, it's probably going, 35, 40, because it's going through, obviously, like, they don't go as quick in residential areas as they do
you know,
out on the open road. So maybe 35, but this train completely derails on a penny. But, I mean, I understand Death also had his hand in it. So, you know, he might have amplified the, you know, the copper texture of that 1968 penny that was going all throughout the movie. So, the train hops the tracks, and it, like, comes through the tree line.
Because remember, Stephanie's having the nightmares of her grandma's death. And one of the songs that plays is Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. So there's a car, a red car that's just identical to the one that her grandfather drives in the dream that crosses the railroad track and
is playing Ring of Fire,
and she sees it, and that's when that train derails.
Yeah, that, and plus the fact that she just found out that she didn't really die.
Yeah.
She just went to sleep for a little bit.
Yeah, and then finally she realizes that they are about to die, or they still are going to die, that death is still going to get them, and that train derails, and they run, obviously, from it. Dude, that thing had to have killed everybody in that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
But the train derails.
There was no problem that night.
Dude, and they were just, they booked it, and they made it.
Yeah, they're running, and, like, the train cars are moving. Like, the engine is, like, right behind them, and it's jackknifing and piling up along the road. And they're like, oh, man. But, you know, still, they've got, like, a good 18, 20-foot lead on it. They're going to be fine. But then the train comes to a stop.
Yeah.
But the cargo does not.
Yeah, and what kills them? Some freaking logs.
Two logs. First, you know, first it gets splattered, and then, you know, brother gets splattered.
Yeah, Stephanie gets killed first because, of course, it's going bloodline. In bloodline order. Stephanie gets crushed, and then Charlie gets crushed.
By it's not just crushed. I mean, it's like there's just blood and lubrication. Like, yeah, it...
And that was pretty cool. I'm glad they paid homage to the old, you know, logging truck from...
Absolutely, but now you can't, you know, you can't drive behind a truck, and now you can't go over some freight train tracks or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was pretty cool how they, you know, paid homage back to it. And, of course, the whole movie, you know, in memory of Tony Todd, which was pretty cool. But, and the credits, too, it rolled. It showed all of the scenes from the old movies. You know, obviously the road scene, you know, with the logs, the flight, tanning bed, stuff like that. Like, it shows pretty much like every death scene from, well, not every death scene, but it shows some of the iconic death
scenes.
The
most memorable ones.
The roller coasters.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. It was a really good movie, man, especially some of the little Easter eggs and paying homage to, obviously, the previous five movies. It was really cool. And this one still, I mean... It's great. It's a good watch. It's probably the longest Final Destination movie. It's at like an hour 40 or something like that. Probably maybe a little bit longer. But yeah, it was good. I liked it a lot, man. It still has that same feel, man. Even
yeah, after if you're looking years. For just some, you know, campy, you know, murderous humor, you know, some non-brainer kills, like, it's there for
you. If you want to be re-traumatized.
Absolutely, yeah, you know.
14 years. A lot of the kids that saw it at that time, me included.
They got to traumatize a new generation,
Yeah,
you can't, you know, can't let all these millennials get away with not having a Final Destination, you know? I mean, maybe if you would have had iPhones blowing up in people's hands.
See, that's what they should have done.
Yeah, man. They should have done like a whole version like to what would terrify you as, you know.
VR. There was supposed to be a VR scene. There was supposed to be like a VR scene, like where one of like Bobby, I think is what it was, or Charlie, no Bobby, where he's like playing VR and he dies while playing VR. Like there was a whole like, you know, kind of like what if, and that would have been
cool because that would have tied it into, you know, it would have gone, you know, it, actually what it intended to do, just bring that horror to a new generation.
Yeah, and that would have been great because you ruin logging trucks for everybody,
logging trucks,
tanning beds.
Giant, you know, lounge restaurants in the sky.
Roller coasters.
Yeah. Magnifying glasses and houseplants. Weather mains. I mean, what else? What, you know.
Yeah. They ruined a lot of stuff for a lot of
them. Can't get a CAT scan anymore. I'm thinking that my septum piercing is going to get... Hey, things happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was really good. Yeah. Go check it out. It was really great to kind of get that... old school feel in a new movie, you know, that nostalgia. I think for me, it was a little bit nostalgic, you know, just watching a Final Destination movie after, you know, 14 years of not having one. It felt good to have another one. It was really good, man. It's just.
Yeah, kind of for me, it kind of like reawakened things because I hadn't, you know, I hadn't seen one in quite a while. I hadn't seen any of them in a while. And my wife is always, like, she has all five. And she's like, hey, that's the one horror movie she owns. That and Hellraiser. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, we should watch it. But I'm like, eh, you know, but I ain't heard nothing from them in like 20 years. So, eh, I don't know. Eh. And then when I found out this one was coming out, I'm like, oh, man, pull out that disc. Got to go revisit them because we're going to go watch it on Sunday. So,
yeah, it was really good. Yeah, Yeah. 9 out of 10 stars. I mean, nothing's perfect, but yeah, I will give it a 9 out of 10. There was some things in there that not really dragged it. It was just like,
To me, I just, you know, I would give it 7 out of 10 just because it's like that. Like I said, it's like that thoughtless horror that you can just autopilot. You can just watch some funny, hilarious deaths. You can sit there and be like spooked out by the logging truck. You can remember all the stupid stuff and, you know, show me your kitties and all that. Like, yeah. You know, it's
Paco the Turtle.
Yeah. You don't, yeah. Especially Paco the Turtle, man. My friend's girlfriend came to my job today and she's like, yeah, me and my brother went to go see Final Destination. I'm like, Paco. And then she's just like, why the hell would you remember the turtle? I'm like, it's just in my nature. I just remember the stupid thing.
Because out of everybody that they could have like been like, hey, are you okay? They got the turtle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like your aunt can go like live out in freaking exile. Doesn't matter.
That's the turtle.
As long as Paco is taken care of.
And he was taken care of. Absolutely. Well, the dad, that's all the dad got now. Is the turtle.
Exactly. Marty and Paco, the Final Destination, you know, next one coming up. You know. Terrapin Terror, Volume 1. It's going to be amazing. Just wait.
But that was our review of Final Destination, Bloodlines. Go see it. It was really, really good. I recommend it.
One thing I can say is I got the news this morning before we recorded, and I'm sure you got it too. Speaking of Tony Todd and his passing, you know, George Wendt passed away. George Wendt, you know, who basically... he was best known for his, you know, his role on Cheers, but you know, he was in the original House movie. He was in Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah,
he did have many, you know, acting performances in the horror genre. So, you know, give my shout out to his family.
Dang,
you know.
Yeah, shout out. I didn't even see it. Because I got up too early to go to work. But yeah, I didn't see it. Dang.
Yeah, it came through my feed probably about 5 this morning. So you were already at work. Yeah. But yeah.
Dang. So, well, RIP, man.
Yeah, maybe we'll do House or something like that in the future, you know.
Yeah, we could, yeah. Well, that was our review, guys. We hope you enjoyed it. Please, again, share our podcast with family, friends, and strangers. Spread the word. Leave us a review anywhere you can. Rate us. Follow us on Instagram. The link will be in the description of this episode. And we will see you
next week.